Chapter 1. December 23rd. This was not a good idea, especially considering what happened 5 months and 2 days ago. That was Bexley Farber's primary thought as they pulled away from the cluster of figures waving goodbye from the porch of the / C+15 Others ranch's main house. As if Kiernan McRae had heard her thought from the driver's seat, he abruptly said into the silence, "You sure you want to do this? I could take you back. You could spend the holidays safe and sound with the Currics and all." He didn't look at her. "So could you." She too looked straight out the windshield, except for the corner of her eye. His mouth quirked. More a grimace than a smile. "Worth the risk to have Christmas with family, you know." She stifled a reaction, remembering a reference to Kiernan and his family from the summer, which led to, "Nope. Not going there, even in memory." "I," she cleared her froggy throat and started again. "I do know. That's why we're, I mean each of us individually is making this trip. This mad trip." She smiled tightly. "Not completely mad. Not as long as we stay ahead of the storm as you all plotted out." "I. So we'd best be going. Unless you've changed your mind." "No." He accelerated onto the highway, heading north. That revealed dark, heavy-bellied clouds to the west. The tops of the Bighorn Mountains seemed certain to tear open their bottoms, releasing a gush of snow, which matched the current forecast. Blizzard warnings starting tonight and continuing into Christmas Day. It was the second of twin storms, moving from west to east across the country. The first twin reached the East Coast yesterday after knocking out Bexley's flight home. With so many scrambling for new flights, she hadn't been able to get another one. As Bexley knew now, this second system had threatened to trap Kiernan in San Francisco where he'd been for business. He got out just in time on a flight to Denver, but then stalled there, because no flights could get into his destination of Boston. Or anywhere near it. In a flurry of phone calls, his family in Gloucester, on the coast north and east of Boston, told him not to risk it. To rent a vehicle in Denver and get up to Wyoming, where he could spend Christmas with the Currics, close friends of the family. He did rent this four-wheel drive and he did make the trip to the / C last night. But according to his explanation this morning at breakfast, as he'd listened to the news and weather reports along the way yesterday, a different plan formed. He'd drive the 30-some hours to Boston, far enough behind the first storm to have cleared roads and far enough ahead of the second to not be caught. The Currics and their friends, who'd arrived for an impromptu welcome breakfast for Kiernan, were divided down the middle about whether it was a good idea or, as Donna Currick, the family's grande dame, said, a mad plan. Then Maddie Brennan Currick, married to Donna's son Dave and a hearty endorser of his plan, said, "And you'll take Bexley with, since her flights were all canceled too after she came here to do winter videos for her business. That will give you company, and a second driver as far as Chicago." "Chicago? But your family's in Wiss," Kiernan cut it off mid-sentence. Amid explanations about how Bexley had planned to connect to a train to her hometown south of Milwaukee after flying into Chicago, so she could do the same after driving, then Dave's suggestion they pick up I-94 in Madison, take it to her hometown, and Kiernan could stay on it to resume his eastern route, which prompted lots of map checking. No one seemed to notice Kiernan's knowledge of her family's location. Except Donna, Bexley thought. Better Donna than her daughter-in-law Mattie, who had a tendency toward matchmaking. All with the best intentions, but the last thing Bexley wanted was being matched with Kiernan McRae. The second to the last thing was being shut up in a vehicle with him for 17-plus hours. She wasn't quite sure how she'd ended up here, except for the longing to be with her family for Christmas. An instinct to get home, to get to family that gripped so much of the population that from the right angle, the earth would probably look like a teeming anthill, with streams going one direction and other streams just as determinedly going different directions. With the urgency of the instinct, the encouragement of the driving plan backers, and the looming deadline of the incoming storm, she'd quickly repacked the belongings she'd need for the trip, and let herself be bundled into the big comfortable four-wheel drive. Like a spelunker following a rope back out of a cave to daylight, she tried to retrace how all that happened. But she kept losing the thread in conversational side caverns. Consultations of weather forecasts, storm warnings, road conditions. Memories of past blizzards. Cautions about handling Wyoming winter roads. Donations of equipment and supplies for winter driving. No spelunker would ever make it out of a cave that busy and chaotic. Kiernan slowed the vehicle for a turn to the east. With the dark clouds hidden from view behind them and a brighter prospect before them, Bexley's spirits lifted slightly. However it happened, she was on her way now, headed home. In a car for 17-plus hours with Kiernan McRae. Bexley raised her gloved hands as if to adjust the hood on her jacket, allowing her to take a sideways look at the profile of the man in the driver's seat without being too obvious. This was not a good idea. 17 and a half hours in a vehicle with Kiernan McRae. That's if they didn't take breaks, didn't stop for meals, didn't stop for rest. She closed her eyes. Maybe she could sleep from Wyoming to Wisconsin. Except for when she took her turns driving, of course. She could volunteer to do lots of the driving, since he'd face a dozen or more hours to go after dropping her off. No need for conversation or strained silence if he slept. The presence of Kiernan McRae sleeping beside her. Her breath hitched. This was really not a good idea. Especially considering what happened 5 months and 2 days ago.